You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason. Listen, I'm just saying, f*** those guys, okay?
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
We got Philippe on Saturday, and we went to...
Where'd you get him at, by the way?
SPCA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And we good to go to those places.
Yeah, we went to Gonzo's for dinner with my dad, and they have an SPCIPA
that they awesome.
Just made recently special, and some portion of sales go towards.
That's a great SPCA. Idea.
I know, and I was like, how perfect is that?
I would actually drink that just to say thank you to the SPCA.
How perfect is that?
We usually use the Animal Rescue that comes with Animal Rescue, but I mean, same thing.
You know what we did? We started there. We went there. And they were actually having an adoption event at a pet store downtown or West Edge, and they had I think 8 cats there, but all the cats were in cages and you couldn't really play with them, and they were all super nervous because they're in this public place and there's a bunch of people around.
Yeah,
and it was really kind of a really hard way to get to know the cat.
But normally they have them in like a big pen.
Yeah, right. I was surprised by that. But we met all the cats when we were petting them, and some of them were really obviously were kind of unfazed by all the stuff. And they're like, right. "Hey, man, I'm just a cool cat." But and there was one that we really liked a lot, and he was a nice guy, but he was really really nervous. And his foster parents were there, and so they talked about how great he was. And he seemed like a nice guy. And we said, "Okay, well, you know, we really like him a lot. We'd like to. What are the next steps so we can do it, you know?" And they said, "Well." He's been real popular today, so we've already got 3 other applications in.
Right.
And so you need to go home and turn in your application and then and give us your contact information for your vet, and we'll interview your vet about you.
Yeah,
and,
serious
and we'll need to do
it.
An in-home visit and on and on and on. And so, you know, no promises. And we're like, oh, geez, you know?
They don't dink around with it. When we got our first dog from the Kalamazoo Animal Rescue,
mm-hmm.
We went there, then we... then they came to our house. Then we did an overnight visit.
Oh, wow.
Then we got to keep him.
Yeah. I mean, I totally respect that. 100% right. respect that. That's
well,
fantastic.
Because they'll keep the dog for its entire lifespan.
Yeah.
So they have no reason to, like, it's not like it's either you take the dog or they get rid of the dog. Like, they'll keep the dog for 10 years if they have to.
Right.
So usually doesn't come to that, but.
No, right. But yeah. So, I really respect that a lot. And we were driving home to go fill in an app. And we did go home and we do the application online. And we were sitting there, we're talking about it. And we're like, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure that we should get our hearts already attached to this
right.
animal.
That'd be tough.
We don't want to assume that the other 3 people. And how many more people are going to apply after we left, you know?
Right.
We don't. How many other people are every bit as qualified or as welcoming?
Right. Or maybe even more so. You never
right,
know.
Yeah,
right?
So we don't want to kind of latch our hearts onto this thing only to be disappointed, you know? So
yeah.
So we said, well, you know, let's just go to the SPCA and just see what kind of animals they've got, you know? And just kind of get a feel for it. And the SPCA has a big cat room, you know, and all
nice.
The cats are just out and they're hanging out and you can pet any single one. Well, they have some that are problems that, you know, you keep in the,
right.
in the cage, but you know, I just hang out with them and we're walking around there and there are a lot of really nice cats and we were scratching them and rubbing on them and it was good. And they were all very friendly, but we kind of thought, yeah, I don't know. Nobody's really jumping out. And then we turn around to leave and a woman walks in and she's got 3 cardboard carriers. With kittens in them, and she's walking back in, and she had just come from some adoption event, and she's like, "I just can't believe nobody wanted you guys." And she opens the first one, and this little Siamese kitten just leaps out and flies through the air and lands. He looks back and turns around, and looks up at me and Christine, his giant blue eyes, and just screams at us, and then runs away to go play with his brothers. And we're like, "Oh,
who's this guy?"
Yeah, yeah. So he just, it was. Like,
well, I mean, you need somebody that can hold his own against Murphy. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because Murphy's big.
Right. Yeah. So
and sometimes curmudgeonly.
Yeah. Well, he's not. No, he's a pretty welcoming dude. And we've had Philippe now since Saturday and today's Tuesday. And today they're getting along.
That's great.
Murphy was pretty anti.
Well, I'm sure he was like, I'm going to set the tone here. Once this kitten understand
right.
my house,
yeah,
my
yeah.
rules.
Right. But, I mean, so, you know, my phone's going to continue buzzing because Christine's going to keep on texting me and
right.
little pictures and videos and Snapchats and things. So
it's like, whose house? Murph's house. I'm glad we're on the same page with that.
Yeah.
I get a bit embarrassed.
Yeah. I don't know.
Should probably officially start the show.
Whatever. Here, yeah, it's 160, right?
Yeah.
Episode 160.
June today. 22nd.
22nd, is that right? Whoops, that was the wrong thing.
15, calendar. 22nd.
22nd, you got
hey,
it, right.
Love there it we go. Comes together.
Building the Game Podcast. I'm Rob, that's Jason.
Hey, hey.
Talking about kitties.
Yeah,
And coincidentally, the day we picked up, so we picked up Philippe, and the next day I edited the show where we talked about BYOK.
Yeah, bring your own kitten, and you're like, I did!
Yeah, and Philippe was running around playing with me while I'm editing that episode.
Yeah. What cracks me up is like sometimes like because we recorded so far in advance, like I forgot the total contents. Like
me
normally
too.
With an episode, like I listen kind of as I'm typing the notes, but like I know like I'm pre-typing the notes before we get there.
Oh, sure,
this
sure.
time I was like, what was the topic? And then like sometimes your names don't really help.
Right.
So I'm like, what? And like and then like when it got to the part where you were talking about the kitten game and I was like, wait, we thought of a really good name. And then one of us said BYOK, and I just like started laughing so loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was really excited.
I had forgotten that conversation took place too. And yeah, so that was great.
Hey, also, we're drinking beer tonight.
Yeah. What is this?
Beer is from, this is from The Hideout in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay.
So it's really close. It's called Chai PA.
I can smell the chai in that.
Yeah, you can really smell
it. It's
the chai.
A very strong flavor or aroma, I should say. Let's do that. Let's give it a sip.
Not sure how I feel about that. I kind of feel like I'm drinking perfume.
A lot of floral flavors in that. You're right. I enjoy it. I'm a bigger fan of IPAs than you are, though.
It's actually, I feel like it's the chai that's turning me off.
Really?
Which is interesting because...
It's very light on the bitter the bitter IPA flavor.
One of my favorite beers right now, because I go through phases, but one of my favorite beers right now is the Dude's Rug, which is a chai... I think it might be a chai cider, so it's not
beer,
technically.
Yeah, I think it's cider.
And it's called the Dude's Rug. So, like, I literally bought it just because it was called the Dude's Rug.
Yeah.
So... because it really tied my fridge together. So, and then
I
couldn't resist. Yeah. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. but then I drank it and was like, oh my gosh, this is great.
Chai PA. I'm digging this.
Well, good.
It looks like it was on clearance there, huh?
No, that's just the label.
Oh,
for
they
the,
just use hot orange. Or
once again,
orange.
Got that in Frankenmuth.
Frankenmuth.
So, at this beer store they have there. So I was just, again, was just looking for this. Sole reason I bought this, I like chai. I don't like IPA, but I thought if I get this, Rob will probably drink it with me because he likes IPA and I like chai and let's try both. But the logo on the beer cap is really cool. It's like a, it's a white background with a beer pint glass on it.
Yeah, it's neat.
With a big head sticking out of it. So it's, yeah, so that was the main reason why I got it, to be honest. I saw
you're
that
buying link. Beers now for the calves.
Basically, yeah.
That's, hey,
I mean,
you got a reason.
It's let me try more kinds of beers.
That's
so.
True. Yeah, no, that's a healthy thing.
Also exciting, the shelving unit is coming together a bit more. Hopefully the next time we record, it will be done or mostly done.
Yeah. Do you want to take some pictures and put them in the show notes so people know what the heck you're talking about?
Sorry, I will do that when it's all done.
Oh, okay.
So when it's all done and I saw set up, I'll take some pictures.
We've been staring at this. It's been a while.
Yeah. No, he took a break for a while and because reasons and... So yeah, he was working on some other projects, and ours wasn't super demanding or like we didn't need it right now. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, anyways, it's going to be really cool. I'm hoping in the next couple weeks it'll be in, and then we need to get some artwork to hang. Got a couple pieces, but I want to get some. The plan is to get some stuff made. So
that's cool.
See our friend Erica in Single. Of the digitalartranch.com. Yep. Is that his
I think that's his URL, yeah.
Yeah. He's full time doing art now, so now
I didn't realize he was full time doing that
for me. So yeah.
Cool.
Him and I talked about it a bit, so
yeah. Great.
I might do that.
Yeah, AK is one of my absolute best buddies of all time.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So he's a good artist.
He is.
If you like Shooter Jennings
He likes Shooter Jennings.
Guess what? You will get the most amazing Shooter Jennings portraits ever painted. He's painted several Shooter Jennings.
No, AK's done a few different album covers for a few bands, and he's done beer labels and stuff too.
Oh yeah. For we got a friend who is actually winning some contests locally now.
Oh, is he now?
Yeah, quite a few.
Oh, like, great.
Yeah, he. I can't remember. He made some beer recently that I thought dang, I would drink the heck out of it. He got first place with it at local contest. So
fantastic.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. So good for him.
Right on. So are you enjoying that or not? Another sip?
No. I'm honestly, when I smell it, it smells like cat pee. And when I taste it, it tastes like perfume.
I could not disagree more. I really like it a lot.
Well, good. Guess what? You are going to drink as much of it as you can.
All right. I'm going to pour the rest of this bottle in my glass.
You do it up, sir.
Yeah. So the other night, we went to a show in Grand Rapids with some friends. Do you know who Lindsey Stirling is?
Only because I heard you went to the show, so I looked it up.
Yeah. So, boy, that is a big glass of beer, man. I don't know. And there's still some left in that bottle.
Pound it.
That is a... Is that a liter? It says 1 pint. That's not a pint. That's more than a pint.
Does it say 1 pint?
It says 1 pint on the label. Right there. It's like 2 pints.
1 pint, 6 fluid ounces. There, smart guy.
Oh, it's just saying that's like serving size.
No. 1 pint, 6 fluid ounces is how much is in there.
Oh.
It's like 1.5 pints.
Got it.
Like, there's no way that's a pint.
Yeah, I thought it was labeled.
Because you filled your glass and mine is about half full, and there's still some beer left.
So we went to this concert. Lindsey Stirling, if anybody doesn't know, she's a violinist, and she's extremely talented. Really very, very talented.
She's like YouTube famous or something.
She's pretty YouTube famous. She's done several. You've probably seen her her covers, YouTube video covers of famous video game theme songs like Skyrim and Dragon Age and Assassin's Creed, and she did a Zelda one. So that's where I had seen her from, but my wife's a big fan, has a couple of her albums, and she put on a good show. It was up in Grand Rapids, and she had two openers. The first opener was a young lady, her name was Kaylee Ray, and she was probably 18 at the most.
Oh, wow.
You know, very, very young. A good singer, not really my thing, you know, I'm not into the poppy thing that the kids like in the modern times, but I'm sure she'll do good things with her career. But I really got a kick out of it. Man, just
really
keeps
smells
flinching.
Like cat pee.
He keeps trying though. I disagree. I think it's really good. So she got to her last song in her set and she said, "Here's one that I want you guys all to sing along to. I know you know the words." And I'm thinking, okay, well, so if somebody said, I know you know the words, what kinds of band names would go through, or artist names would go through your mind?
Leonard Skinner.
Skinner, okay,
like
sure.
The first one.
First one, sure, what else? I think Skinner might be a stretch for a little girl like that. I was thinking like Beatles, Stones.
Maybe
Bowie,
yeah.
You know?
Classic bands.
Yeah, that everyone in the audience guaranteed would know. She said, "This is Jealous by Nick Jonas."
Oh. And then did you cry a little? Because I would have.
I laughed. I think I full on burst out like a reflexive ha. Like I'm gonna lean back from the microphone, like a that kind of thing, you know? That's the kind of it was
You were like, "No, never." What about Christine? Does she know it?
She did not know the song, but one of the she of the couple that we were there with did know all the words. She chose not to sing along. She also has a teenage daughter, so I think that's why she knew all the words.
Excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, that's the excuse she gave us. But
I've heard one Jonas Brothers song before. Something about fire. All I know.
I probably have like you know, in ambient music in a store or something, but I wouldn't know that it was Jonas Brothers.
And I don't ever listen to the radio. Like, rarely do I listen. I mean, once in a great while, like, if my phone was dead and Josiah wanted to listen to music, I would turn the radio on.
Sure.
But other than that, I never listen to the radio.
No.
And it's not that I don't like new music. I learn about new music all the time. I just don't learn about it from the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Because most of the music that I would enjoy would not be played on the radio.
Yeah. So that was an interesting first set. And then the second opener came on. And you know, my first thought was, man, two openers? Who do you think you are, Lindsey Stirling? But
it's got to cover the cost of that ticket price.
Yeah. So the second opener was a band called Carmin, K-A-R-M-I-N. Have you heard of them?
No.
I had not either. A trio, two guys and a female singer. And they came out there, and there's a guy with a trombone and a keyboard and a drum machine. And
busy guy.
And another guy with a guitar and some foot pedals and a laptop. And then the woman was just singing. And my first
lazy.
My first thought was, man, this is gonna suck. This is gonna be lame. And I gotta say, Jason, that was one of the best live shows I've ever seen.
Wow,
they were awesome.
Wow,
I mean, there were a lot of pre-recorded tracks, backing tracks, and things, and loops that they put out. Uh-huh. But it's not like they just hit play on a laptop. It's from what I could tell. So the guy playing the keyboard and the trombone and the drum pad, he would play the drum pad sometimes, and he would play the keys sometimes, and on a couple of songs he'd pick up the trombone and play that. But most of the time he would just kind of stand back there and dance, and that's fine, good for him. That guitarist was working, man. He was triggering all the I'm sure there are proper words for this, but he was triggering all the loops, all the samples and things.
Wow.
with foot pedals.
Right.
And sometimes he'd take his hand off the guitar and hit something on the keyboard or on the laptop. I mean, that man was working hard.
Seems like they could just get another band member to like use the laptop and play some loops.
Well, that's another mouth to feed. You know, somebody else to take profits. I don't know. Anyway, but I don't mean to downplay her talent as a singer, because she was crazy good. She was crazy good. And she rapped in a few times, and she was like speed rapping in a couple of songs. It was really impressive.
I like when people that you don't know can rap, and then you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Like I it was the kind of show where I'm like, man, kind of don't care about the headliner because that was awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Really, could you guys just play a little?
Yeah. Bit? Let's just get an encore from them. You know.
Nice.
So Builders. I don't know if you guys know Carmen at all, but if you don't, it's well worth the time. They talked a lot about their iPhone app. They say, hey, they have a phone app that's on every phone available. They said, and get the app. It's free. You can listen to all of our music free through the app because that's new media and that's how it works. So just, we don't care. Just listen to our music.
That's not actually how it works, but I mean,
well, you know, I don't know what they're doing. I'm sure they'll be happy to sell you an album on iTunes.
If truly is new media, here's the good news, guys. We are so far ahead of that. Our stuff has been free since we started. So.
Whatever. But it was great. It was a really good show. And Lindsey Stirling is very talented. It's not really my kind of music. It was kind of like a Vegas show with her dancing and playing the violin. And she had dancers behind her and a big lights and movie show and things. And it was a well-produced show. I certainly don't want to downplay that.
Cool.
And everyone else in the audience who was already a fan of her just freaking loved it. And... you know, and I appreciated it, but it wasn't my thing, you know? So that's fine. But yeah, Carmen, I'm gonna see if I can find an album.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Or download an app. It's free.
Yeah, I don't listen to music on my phone. Like if I can find it on vinyl, I'll buy it.
Right.
But if I can't find it on vinyl, it's not worth my time. Will. Yeah.
I went to a show a while back. I told you a little bit about it, but I never talked about it on the podcast. And you made me think of it because
I
saw Gangstagrass, right, I talked about before. Huge fans of them. Inspiration behind Gunslinger and Ramblers.
Right, right.
They, we saw them in Ann Arbor at this place called The Ark, which is fantabulous. It's small, good, but yeah. it's just good a venue. Really cozy venue.
Good.
Maybe 100 seats total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the show we went to is at DeVos Hall, which is, it's a good place, but it's a big theater.
I mean, I was probably 15 feet from the stage, and that was just because that's where we chose to sit.
That's the way to see a rock show.
Yeah. You know, and these guys, it was cool because they said they're like bluegrass and hip hop, right? Mm-hmm. So they started by, they like come walking out, and it's just the instrument people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they come walking out, and the guy said, hey, we're gonna play a couple of bluegrass standards, because we got some time here. So
yeah.
And the violinist leans over, the fiddle player, sorry, leans over and says, basically, we're gonna open for ourselves. And they did. They played two like old like bluegrass standard songs. Uh-huh. They were really good. And then they said, we're going to go change into our Gangstagrass disguises. And then they went off stage, and they came back like 5 minutes later with the two dudes who rap.
Nice.
That was probably the best show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, it was so interactive and so fun. What made me think of it when you said that was the lead singer / guitar guy was doing the loop thing too. And like, I kept being like, how do they like, cause they don't have, it's just a guitar player, a banjo player, a dobro player, which is like steel guitar.
Yeah.
And then a fiddle player,
uh-huh.
and then two dudes rapping. Everyone sang, including one of the rap guys, which is cool. He has a really bass voice, so he would sing the bass part, so it gave him a little more. But there's drums and stuff in every song.
Yeah.
There's no drum player. So like, dude was like so nonchalant about it. Like you had no idea that like he's just hitting pedals and just doing stuff. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's good. But and it's cool that they, and depending on what they're doing, they can like, they can play a few bars and like hit a pedal and start playing a few bars and then hit a pedal to stop that and start looping that and then play the next track and build it and build it. That's cool. Actually, Lindsey Stirling did one of those things too, a live, you know, building a whole song from scratch. And that was really, that was really very neat. Impressive. That was, and that track was like, yes. And when she played that song, I was like, man, that I totally dig that. That, because I can see, you can see clear as day
the awesomeness of you doing
the pure raw talent in what she what she's doing right there.
Right.
And it's not hidden or concealed behind crazy light shows and dancing and crazy costumes, you know. The one last thing I will say about Carmen, they did a kind of ska rap modern rock cover of that song from Willy Wonka, or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The Come With Me and You'll Be in a World of Pure Imagination.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
I want to try.
Worth checking out.
I want to try and find that.
Yeah. Anyway,
so let's talk
board
about,
games.
Let's talk about board games. Hey, guess what? We're not going to talk about board games for the feature of the week this week, but that's okay. We're going to talk about something important.
Dynamite stuff here.
So here's the good news, guys.
Yeah.
First, I'm going to lay the good news on you. I got tired of us not being able to figure out topics. So I went out and made a list of topics for us to talk about. So we literally have like a list of like 20 plus topics.
I added one.
Did you?
Yeah, I added one. Oh. I don't remember what it was now. It was great though.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
So anyways, we've got this huge list of topics now. And it's some fun and interesting stuff. Some of it's mechanics. Some of it's just different game stuff. All stuff we wanted to talk about, you know. So so we got a nice list out there, and we're gonna hit those up over the next 20 plus episodes because we'll be bouncing stuff in and out. Like I think on the next show... No, we're going to do that as a bonus episode. So, yeah, on the next show, we'll hit up a couple more of those topics. So, one of the things that actually was farther down the list, but talking about the contest and things like that, and, you know, and we got a pretty good response. I would have loved a bigger response, but we got a pretty good response, you know. But one of the things, you know, so we look at our raw numbers. We look at our downloads, our listens, and we're very happy with how we're doing. We're doing for a podcast that was built from the ground up, and I'm not patting ourselves on the back, but like we have a lot of listeners now. A lot of listeners.
Yes, and we appreciate that.
And we get thousands of downloads a month, and that's exciting, right? Mm-hmm. That's exciting. But what we can't do is get a lot of responses to stuff in general. And it's funny because I've known of podcasts that have had probably twice as many listeners as we have who've always said the same exact problem.
Yeah.
So that got me thinking, like, what is it about a podcast that feels so one way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, okay, first of all, let me say, we have some very dedicated listeners.
Absolutely.
Who send us a lot of things. Yep. They interact with us a lot. We love that.
It's fantastic.
I wish more of you did that.
Yeah.
So I guess one of the, what we wanted to talk about was engaging with the audience and trying to understand some better ways to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, this in and of itself is going to have to be interactive. Like, we're going to talk about some ideas. We're going to talk about some things. But in the end, what we really need is for you guys to send us messages and either emails or voicemails or whatever and tell us what you think. Tell us what we could do better to try and have that more interaction, because we want to have more interaction with the audience.
We do, yeah.
It's one of our favorite parts of the whole show.
Yep.
It's like right after, it's like number two after listening to ourselves talk. So that's clearly number one. But Remy, right? So I think I'm kind of introducing this here.
Yeah. So we're talking about engaging with your audience, right? And you know what? I think if we can gain a better understanding of this, man, he just
so
keeps
bad. The beer is so bad smelling.
It's like you just, oh man, you're
I can't believe it smells
face.
Like used kitty litter. That's what that smells like to me.
Believe me, I know what used kitty litter smells
so
like because I've been dealing with a lot of it lately.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Yeah. But so we're talking about engagement, and I think if we can learn something here in this and come up with some good ideas, I think there are probably some lessons that can translate to a lot of different things, including gaming, you know, because as a designer, you want to create a product, you want to create a game, an experience that will engage players, that will engage an audience, you know,
right. Or maybe you're a publisher that has a mailing list and you want to engage
right?
You want to engage followers on a Kickstarter, right?
Right. Right. So this is what we're talking about. So for us, in terms of the podcast, we want to try and think about what can we do to increase that two-way communication. Right.
Right.
So let's start by talking about options and stuff that we try and do right now. So we have email.
Right.
Email is, it's almost nothing, right? I mean, email is easy and everyone's got it and no one cares about it.
Right. I mean, email is one of those things, like, I mean, I write 50 emails a day, probably. Sure. Most of which are work-related, still, 50 quick emails a day, and it's fast, instant communication.
So, but for me, email outside of the workplace is just a way to send, it's a way to talk to family members who are old. Because they're not on Twitter, they're not on Facebook, they're not on social media.
Well, right? You're not okay. on Facebook, but my no, parents but, are all on Facebook.
But my wife is, and she keeps me updated.
True.
So email is a business tool. It's a way to send files to each other, but it's not necessarily a good way to interact.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we never bothered to start an email newsletter. You know, like, number one, we don't want to write articles.
Right. That's number one.
Number two, though, we don't see a lot of benefit to that.
Right.
You know, because I don't subscribe to newsletters from other places. And if I get auto subscribed to stuff, I just automatically route that to a junk folder.
I subscribe to some, like, there are some publishers who I'm subscribed to newsletters only so that I know when they have Kickstarters and stuff going. But to be honest, I skim them. Like, I look at the headlines.
Yeah.
And if the headlines don't catch my eye, and the headlines a lot of times are at this game coming to Kickstarter then, and then I stop reading because that's all I care about. Yeah. Like,
right.
So there's a reason why we don't do that.
So yeah.
Now, so what kind of, do we get emails? We get some emails.
We do.
We don't get tons of emails. I would say emails are one of the main ways that we do get communicated to. So this is a fair thing that some listeners may say, which is, you guys aren't always great at responding to the emails. That's true. We've gotten a lot better about that, and we try at least to talk about them on the show. We don't always respond because we'd rather respond on the show.
Yeah.
But maybe that's bad. Maybe you'd rather we respond via email and then, I guess, then talk about a response anyways.
See, so my feeling about that is I would rather talk about it on the show because I feel like I have sent an email to podcasts that I listened to before, right? And I feel like if they read my email on the show, on their podcast, that's a reward to me as a listener, right?
You know?
Whereas if they replied to me directly, I mean, I would appreciate that direct engagement with the person on the show, but I kind of feel like I want to participate in the show, and that's why I like to send an email to a podcaster.
Right.
And that's kind of why I feel like I prefer to respond to emails on the show.
Right.
To involve people in the show.
Right. See, the other thing with emails that's negative to me, which is just to me, but we still get a lot of emails that are, hey, back my Kickstarter, talk about my Kickstarter. Now, first of all, I've said before, and I do not feel bad for this, if you don't say something nice about the show in the first line of your email, and I'm not saying you guys make an amazing show, but something that tells me you actually listen to our show, I stop reading and I delete it.
Yeah.
And that's because I get three of those a day, which isn't a ton, but I mean... We want to, if we're going to promote a Kickstarter, we want to promote a Kickstarter because it's for a listener, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that said, there's a few listeners out there who in the not too distant past have emailed us and said, hey, can you cover my Kickstarter? And I've responded to them and said, sorry, we can't. And it was just because of scheduling. You were on vacation. Mm-hmm. We had other interviews booked, and like, we try to be sensitive to not book too many interviews at any given time.
Yeah.
So,
because remember, we're not an interview show,
right?
We have people on sometimes, but that's kind of not our format.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes we'll do just a straight up interview, but not very often.
Yeah.
So anyway, and we don't do reviews of stuff. I mean, we'll say nice things about stuff if we like something, and we'll even plug stuff for free if we like something.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we don't, we don't do reviews. So because of that, and we've had some awkward interactions where, I had one, this happened a long time ago. These people probably don't listen anymore because they're probably mad at me, but, is a slight side note if you don't mind.
Sure.
They said, hey, can I send you a game, for a review? And I said, well, no. I said, short answer is no. Long answer is, if you're looking for feedback on your game, we were a newer podcast then. We didn't have a ton of listeners. We didn't get a lot of emails, and we didn't get a lot of offers like this. So I said, if you were looking for just feedback, like if you want some design feedback, I would love to try it. I said, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to have some time. I'll have some people to try it with me. So I would love to do that for you if you need that. I said, but if you don't, if you need a review, please send it to somebody who can give you a review. I don't know, try the Dice Tower, right? To someone who does reviews. I said there's a lot of podcasts that do reviews or websites too. And if you want a review, you should send it to them because I want you to get a review if you want a review, right? Because if that's what you need, that's what you need.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a Kickstarter. I needed reviews. I understand, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that said, we got the game. I play tested it. Sent some what I felt was pretty good written feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And they responded and they refuted most of my feedback, which is fine. I mean, sure. I do that as a designer.
Don't have to agree. Yeah, yeah.
Totally don't have to agree. But then said, hey, this one part here is really nice. Could I pull this part out and use this on the Kickstarter page as a review?
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
No.
Absolutely not. Like, I specifically told you. And then I was like, if you'd like me to send your game back, I gladly will. But, like, you will not use this as a review.
Yeah.
Because we have a policy of not doing reviews.
Right.
Even Rob and I really, even on our own, don't do reviews normally. You know what I mean?
No,
even
no.
Not associated with the podcast. There have been times I think I've been quoted on a Kickstarter page as personally saying, oh, I really like this game, but it had nothing to do with the podcast. And it was because it was a friend's game. I'd tried it and I said, yeah, this is a good game, you know, and then they put that in the comments or something. And that's fine. But like podcast doesn't do reviews. So,
right.
So there's some trials and problems we've had with some of the communication there. And I'm not making excuses. I just kind of want you guys to know.
We don't want to talk about this stuff.
We like to be honest, right?
Right. Yeah. So, okay. So other options here. We have Twitter, right?
Yep.
Now, we both enjoy Twitter.
Yeah.
And I go through highs and lows where I spend a lot of time on Twitter and where I might have a few weeks away from, like when I was on vacation, I tweeted a few things about my vacation. But before and after that, I just get busy in my personal life and I'm not a real avid Twitterer. I think you're kind of the same way.
Yeah, but I will say, if you want to get in touch with us, Twitter is hands down the fastest way to do it. I won't say 100% of the time, but most of the time, I would say 95% of the time, I respond to every tweet that mentions me. If it's not just like mentioning me, but it's like saying, hey, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I will either respond on Twitter or we will respond on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I try to. I mean, there are times when I'm too busy to get to it right away. And if I can't get to it right away, I'm more likely to forget about it down the road. But I'm the same way. I'm much more likely to respond on Twitter.
Right. Because Twitter is live interaction, basically, right?
Yeah.
So Twitter is a good way to interact with us. When we ask for questions before the show, it's almost always via Twitter because we know that's the fastest way to get responses. Hey, quick, send us an email, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what else do we have?
Now, well, it's still on subject of Twitter,
still
though.
Still on Twitter, yeah.
We don't tweet much, though, from the actual podcast Twitter.
Correct.
So
even though the podcast has more followers than either of us,
yeah,
probably double.
So basically the only thing that ever really gets tweeted out from that is if you're retweeting one of us or if you're tweeting that a new episode is available.
Right. That's a good point. So
maybe we should be doing more, make that account more active.
Maybe start asking questions via it.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that would work.
Hashtag BTG questions.
Yeah. Trying to start BTGQ. Conversations. Yeah, BTGQ. Okay, yeah. So I mean, maybe that's a question. Well, builders, what do you think? And we would appreciate your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, Facebook. What about Facebook?
If you want a message to go unanswered and send never get rid of the show, Facebook is the best way to do it. The notification system on Facebook's page is the worst. So, like, a lot of times I'll find messages on Facebook from like 2 months ago and I'm on Facebook every day.
Yeah.
But I'm on Facebook almost exclusively on my phone. I don't like to pull it up at work on my work computer because I don't want it to be time consuming. I flip through Facebook for 30 seconds and then I put it away and it's on my phone app.
Sure.
But Facebook did this super smart thing where they decided they should split all their apps out. So now there's a Pages app and there's a Messenger app. So basically I have to have like four apps on my phone just to have freaking Facebook.
Man, that's terrible.
It's really, there's some scheme that is supposed to make it better for them because they take up more real estate on your phone, but it really just annoys me.
Sure.
So anyway, so what ends up happening is I miss a lot of stuff. Now, granted, most of the ones I end up missing are like, hey, cover this Kickstarter, even though you don't know me. So that, I don't feel bad about that. But some of them, and I try to respond to the people and be like, dude, so sorry. It's been like 3 months since you sent this, but I just saw it. If it's like legit, like, you know, fans of the show saying stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, our Facebook page is really bad. You liking our Facebook page does one thing generally, and that's make us feel better about the number. So that's great. But I mean, certainly we have way more Twitter followers than we do Facebook likes.
Yeah.
So, and that's fine.
Sure.
Because we're more active on
Twitter. We kind of like it that way. Yeah. right?
Yeah.
So what about our voicemail, huh? The thing that I really like about our voicemail is that it's an opportunity not just to put your words on the show, but to actually get your voice on the show.
Right.
And I think that's a cool thing.
So I think that's really good. The one negative about it, and this is just a negative for the listeners who take time to do it sometimes, is we don't always get a chance to play them. We try to, but depending on the scheduling, sometimes it's like, wow, we haven't been able to do that one for 3 weeks. So now it's been a month since they submitted it,
which, and they probably submitted it a week or more after the original thing that they were calling about went up. And so it's been so long.
So that's the downside of voicemail. The upside is we get to hear other people's voices. And as long as we can keep voicemails usually a minute or less, that's usually best. Those are the ones that are easiest to fit in. Because at the end of the show, we can be like, hey, we got a 1 minute voicemail here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes longer ones work too. But I mean, mm-hmm. that is, you know. So that we like that because we get to hear you guys.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
Fun, you know?
So here's a thought that I've had about voicemails. So I worry that people feel like if they're going to leave us a voicemail or even send us an email or Twitter or whatever, I worry that they feel like they need to ask us questions about the show or about our game designs or about games in general. I mean, you just heard us talk about my new cat for probably 10 minutes.
Right.
I don't care what you send us a voicemail about. I don't care what you send us an email about. The topic is less interesting to me than interacting with you guys.
Right.
I mean, do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of the best things I can remember about dealing with people on the show mm-hmm. have nothing to do with games.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you know, some of the most fun times I've spent like interacting with listeners and stuff like that has not been about games. It's just been about hanging out with cool, fun people.
Right. I agree.
You know, I mean, I played two games maybe with Nate Darty, at Grand Con last year.
Yeah.
And a couple other guys too, but you know what? I had breakfast and lunch with them like 3 days and that was super fun. Like just hanging out, talking about crap, not even talking about games, you know? Mm-hmm. So, there's no reason that can't translate back to the show again. Cause like Rob said, we talk a lot about not games. Mm-hmm. For the record, we do that because feedback has been given to us that you guys like when we just talk about random stuff. Sure. So
we've loosened up the format a little bit because of that. So voicemail, what other options do we have here?
There's commenting on the website.
Yeah.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones we tend to remember the easiest to mm-hmm. comment on. And I do sometimes actually respond to those. If I do respond to those, it's usually because you asked a question that I don't want to make you wait for an answer. Mm-hmm. Or you asked a question that doesn't need an answer on the show. Like, hey, where can I find this, you know, on your website?
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to tell you I'm not going to.
Sure.
Because it'd be silly. So those are the ways we have the availability, right?
Well, and then the other thing we try and do now and then, we don't do it a lot, but we try and do this is contests. And we don't do it a lot because we don't always have prizes to give out.
Right.
You know?
And in trying to drum up a big prize to get a very small turnout mm-hmm. is, you know, which sometimes some contests we get, like the last one, I was happy with our response on that.
Yeah.
But like other ones, it's been like
now,
a couple.
Now podcasts and websites and things that do reviews, they get a lot of free review copies of games. And so that means they generally always got something they can give away.
Right.
And we don't have that option.
Right.
So whenever we can do a contest, we really like to. But I mean, that said, we also don't want to have a contest running all the time, every month, nonstop, because then it's just kind of not special.
Right.
But because we like it to be special, but maybe you guys don't care. Maybe you always want a contest.
Right.
Maybe and you always want
we
something.
We could do that.
On.
They're pretty easy for us. It usually is one episode to talk about it and one mm-hmm. episode real quick to announce the winner. So,
right. Like we did last week, you know?
Exactly.
If that's something you want to see more of, we can certainly try and go down that road. We'd love to reach out to some of our publisher and designer friends to see what else they can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm confident we have publisher and designer friends who would gladly give us copies of their games,
mm-hmm.
You know, because it's good advertising for them. I mean, right, that's the plus for them.
Yeah.
Is they get some advertising on a show that's about game design. And,
yeah.
And then we get to take what we got and give it to you nice people. So mm-hmm. another way that we can kind of interact with people, and this is an experiment we're trying this year at Gen Con, which is the BTG CCG.
Yeah.
Now, this could be a huge flop. It could be bad, it could be good, but what that is it's if you haven't heard about it before, it's a very small collectible card game mm-hmm. that we will be giving away as a promo
for free
and eventually we'll have it up on the website, sell it at cost
mm-hmm.
Just to just to get copies out there.
Like, yeah.
We know we're not trying to make money off it. We just want to get copies out there.
Now, I think when I learned this from Chevy that if you want a copy, you need to come find us and ask us for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And there's something to do with the rules of attendance and stuff with at Gen Con. We can't like offer it and start passing it out.
And plus, we don't want to do that, frankly, because we want people to get it who want it.
Exactly.
I can tell you the game is super fun. If you listen to the show, If you listen to the show, the game is super funny.
Yeah.
So, you'll laugh quite a few times reading through the cards. Mm-hmm. And we already have lined up a lot of promo cards for. I can't stop creating them. I'm sorry, I just can't.
He's
a funny guy with game design ideas.
He just can't stop. It's a problem. It's becoming a problem. So when we first came up with this idea, you know, we asked you guys to tell us because we really only want to do this if you're gonna want it. And we actually haven't heard from anybody yet.
No, we've had a couple of
responses. Oh, we have. Okay.
Randomly, people have said, oh, that sounds like a cool idea.
Okay. All right.
Well, but I mean,
the response has not been what we'd hoped.
Right. Now, granted, we announced it on a bonus episode. So that doesn't help. Because some people just flat out ignore bonus episodes.
That's fine.
Because they don't want to hear us playing games, which is fine. I wouldn't listen to those either, but some people really like it. So.
I only listen to it because I have to.
Right. Yeah, I only listen to it if I need to take notes of it. Those shows I just publish.
Yeah. We're excited about the potential of that, but if you guys are not interested in it, well, then, you know, that's fine.
And right. I think we'd like to do it for Gen Con and give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, you know, if nobody wants it there, and maybe at Gen Con, people will play it and be like, oh, this is fun. Like, I want some more promo cards for this, you know?
Yeah.
Cause something we could do in the future then is at cons is have little tournaments of it and stuff like that.
Sure.
You know, I mean, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
So anyway, I think we're kind of rambling on a little bit at this time, and we're spending a lot of time on this topic. I think what we're asking here is we want to know what works for you. What do you like? What gets you excited? What makes you want to participate with us?
Right.
You know, and if you have any thoughts or feelings about that, please get in touch with us using any of those methods that we just discussed.
Right.
Because we want you guys to be part of this. And this is a documentary podcast, right?
Right.
This is what we call ourselves. And so we want to, we're documenting everything. Our intention originally was to document about making games, but we're also documenting about making a podcast and trying to help build this community and contribute to this community that we found ourselves a part of.
And I mean, if we can learn some tips here that are going to help another podcast starting out too, we're totally good with that too, you know? So
anyway. That's enough.
Yeah, is that that's enough.
That's enough.
You're
going
to kind of pitch a game?
So I have this kind of loosey-goosey kind of idea that I actually would like some of your thoughts on. We were out to dinner with some friends the other night, and they told us about the fortune cookie game, which...
Yeah, I'm aware.
So if anybody else out there is not aware of this, there's a game that you play where you have a fortune cookie, you know, you crack the fortune cookie open, and you read the fortune, and then you add the words, in bed... at the end of the fortune.
Right.
And it's funny, you know?
What was your fortune today at the Chinese restaurant?
It wasn't a fortune, it was advice or something. Oh, it was like life advice. I don't remember what it was.
Mine was stupid.
It was terrible. Yeah, because that place where we had lunch today, they never have good fortunes.
No.
Chinatown had real fortune cookies. In San Francisco, where we had dinner there, they have real fortunes and real fortune cookies, like freshly made fortune cookies. That was good stuff.
You mean not like the ones today that we both bit into and then looked at each other
and
spit them back out?
No, that was bad. Yeah. Anyway, so I started thinking about that. And I mean, because that's a funny game, you know? That's a funny game. And I felt like, man, there's some potential there. But and I'm not just saying, I want to pitch that game. But it got me started thinking about simple concepts, simple words, simple wordplay. You know, and that's a party game, right? I mean, that would have to be kind of a party game.
You're on a roll with party games lately.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm on a roll, but
I mean, I'm not saying like in a good way, but you're pitching a lot of party games lately.
So, and that reminded me of a game that, I used to listen to Doug Benson's podcast. He's a stand-up comedian.
Who's high all the time.
He's the one that's high all the time. Right. And his podcast is called Doug Loves Movies, and they would play a game. I don't remember, he had a name for it, but it's a movie title game where somebody picks a movie title, and then the next person has to add another movie title either to the beginning or the end of it, and the first and last words need to be the same. Okay.
Oh wow, that sounds difficult.
Yeah. So Star Wars, and then you would do Star War and Peace, and you know, Star War and pieces of, I don't know, whatever. You know,
it's like
you
would before just, and after on
yeah, Wheel Jeopardy. Of Fortune. Or is that Wheel of Fortune?
Wheel of Fortune,
yeah. Okay, yeah. So the same idea. And so I thought, well, you know, I wonder if there's some potential in that. But outside of just movie titles, you know? And I also was thinking, I wonder, this should be the kind of game you can play while you're riding in a car. You know, while everyone's just driving on a road trip or whatever, and everybody can play. And so I thought, what if you had a deck of cards that had just kind of different categories on them? Uh-huh. And it could be movie titles, it could be TV shows, it could be band names, song titles.
Real stuff or fake stuff?
Like real stuff. It's got to be real stuff because that's part of the challenge. You know, famous quotes, common expressions, governmental bodies, you know, and organizations. You just all kinds
celestial
of crazy stuff.
Body.
Yeah, and so you would have to, yeah, sure, planets or whatever.
Uranus.
Yeah, playing. Well, you'd kind of need multiple words. Yeah, you're right. So this was kind of the idea that what if you have a deck of cards and on your turn you draw a card and it says what the category is and you have to add to either the beginning or the end of the chain, and just kind of goes around like that until somebody
chokes.
Yeah, so somebody can't do it and then they're out and then everybody's left and until you get to a point where only one person can add something to the beginning or end and then the game's over. So if that's I know listening to Doug Benson's podcast that that's a fun game and people enjoy playing that. So I was trying to think of is there some other way to expand upon that? Is there more to do with that? More strategy that can be added to that? More decision making that can be added to that? What do you think?
I don't know. So I was trying to think of other party games that I play that are like informal party games. One of the party games we play a lot is Six Degrees of Separation. Like Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon, but it's too easy when you use Kevin Bacon. Like it's so easy. If you know movies, it's a joke.
That game's only fun if you play it without Kevin Bacon.
Right. So my friend Ro and I actually, that's something we have done in the past quite a bit. Like we both will say like a completely random person, like actor, and then attempt to connect them through movies and television. And that's pretty fun. But, so I'm just trying to think of, how you would
or maybe there's a different challenge in this. Maybe because I mentioned, you know, the kind of thing you can play on a road trip. Maybe we need to think of maybe it's a challenge of coming up with a game you can play just on a road trip, and you can have some cards and maybe just one person, because it might just be two people, a driver and a passenger.
True.
And so it might be it would need to be the kind of thing where only one player actually has to draw the cards. Because the driver has to focus on the road and steering and all that related stuff. So maybe there's something in with that.
What if the, no, it's too confusing.
It's super confusing. What?
I was trying to think of what if it was different categories and you had to say what was in common between those two categories, but, that'd be really difficult.
Yeah. I mean, find something in common, connect, make a connection.
Make a connection between these two categories.
Yeah. So there's no right or wrong with that. It's just a kind of a
freeform,
creative kind of concept. Sure. And so you could just have a deck of cards with a lot of weird concepts and ideas. So there could be something in that.
Right.
So in that you wouldn't have like just a category band names. You would have you would have specific band names and specific, movie titles and TV shows
and try to connect them. Gosh, man, I don't know. Like, I feel like my brain is just like fried here for some reason.
Well, it's a tough one. Like I spent like a solid 20 minutes thinking about this in
here
preparation for this
here
episode.
I am, last week having a game that I'd already play tested.
Yeah, I know. I'm impressed.
And then you're like,
and I didn't even know that you were working on that.
'Cause you went on vacation. And then you were like, I'm going to pull a Jason.
I was on vacation, man.
All right. Well, hey, listeners, talking about interaction, tell us how to make that game not the most terrible game Rob's ever pitched.
Sure. Well, I think we're about out of time on the show anyway. So I think that's kind of a weak pitch for me. I'm sorry. I apologize. Sorry. Weakest pitch I've ever done.
That might have actually been the weakest pitch you've ever done.
Very well,
I don't know
have.
That it was worse than it's some of my pitches, but
barely an idea.
And it wasn't even enough an idea that I felt like I could work with it. Instead, I just said other random examples of games that I've played that were also very loose in the rule structure.
All right, so I whiffed it. I totally biffed this week. We like the word biff. That's fine then. All right, I think that's enough, huh? Do we have any emails or Twitters or
no?
Okay,
zero,
nothing. Well,
listeners, let's improve that for the next episode.
Yeah, let's do our best. Yes,
we got 2 weeks. I don't actually. You won't improve it because the other episode came out. Then this episode, so it's going to be a good solid month and nothing. So listeners, come on now.
Send us emails about whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want that's not about promoting your Kickstarter.
No, I mean, if you want to say, hey, check out my Kickstarter, it's cool. But I mean,
but say something interesting along with that.
Yeah.
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 That's how you get us to talk about your Kickstarter.
It's true. Yeah. Like, I mean, I remember when I was trying to get people to, like, for Water Balloon Watch It, I was like, hey, man, I host a podcast. I design games. I do cool stuff. Like, I want to talk to you about space aliens. Also, Water Balloon Wash Out. You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us stupid, interesting things, and then, and also we'll mention your podcast, your thing, whatever your thing is, you know?
If 2/3 of your email is about something else and the last third is about your Kickstarter.
We'll get there.
We'll probably mention your Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So.
Make it worth our time.
Unless your Kickstarter is like something mean-spirited or
so,
bad.
So is this just turning into advice for people who are trying to market their Kickstarter?
No, but that is good advice for that.
Yeah, you know.
So, and actually, listen, that's always good advice, guys, because I've talked to other podcasts, even ones who do reviews, and when people send them a mass email, say, check out this new game called Bazinga. It's so awesome. They just delete it.
Yeah.
They just delete it.
Right.
So, I just actually say that, but they do the same thing. So, I promise. All right.
Okay, thanks to everybody for listening. If you don't want to participate, that's fine. You don't have to. You know, hey, keep on listening. We love you guys.
Stop listening.
We love you guys.
I'm just kidding.
We really, truly, honestly appreciate it. I say that every week. I mean, I basically have a script here for the end, but it's true and honest, and why change it if it's the truest thing I can possibly say?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
We really, really, really appreciate you guys listening. It means the world to us. If you guys weren't listening, we wouldn't be doing this. I mean, we started out doing it just for ourselves, but
that would have only lasted for like maybe 6 months if nobody had started
at the
listening.
Most, right? Yeah. So the fact that we're still doing this, it means that
we feel guilty that we can't stop. Seriously though, maybe give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
That'd be great. And maybe, like us on Facebook.
Yeah, like us on Facebook.
Yeah,
but don't send us a message there. Maybe you can send us an email at buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com.
You can do that.
You could tweet us.
Tweet us? How would they tweet us, Jason?
I'm at J.A. Slingerland.
No way.
At poorly underscore design.
The underscore is important.
It's also at podcastBTG, which we don't tweet from much, but we always respond to those, either from the podcast or from our personal accounts.
Yep.
You could also leave a voicemail at 770-TELL-BTG.
Yeah.
And
where would they leave a comment on our website?
Leave a comment on our website at buildingthegamepodcast.com.
What else can be done through that website?
You could listen to our shows. You could buy our games.
Hey, buy our games. Like, buy our games.
Buy our games.
Buy our games.
Yeah, so you could do that too.
What are those games?
Water Balloon Washouts.
Yeah.
The Rumble Bum Academy for Bug-Based Baking.
Uh-huh.
Not Epic Monster Tea Party.
Nope.
Oh, gosh. It's still on there. It's totally still on there, but the link is dead.
Oh, the link's dead?
I realize I've never taken
Thanks,
it off the
jerk.
Website.
You need to take that down. You need to take that down before this episode posts.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Because it'll link to a web... I mean the store page is there, but you won't be able to buy anything.
It's even better.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe I took that store page down.
Probably should have.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
Anyway. Yeah, so finish it, the outrageous story.
There it is.
Game.
Finish it. Which is still like the best party game ever. May I just say?
It is. No.
It is still like.
That is. There are a lot of legit published party games, and that game is better than all of them.
Yes.
Hands down.
I love finishing.
And everyone that plays it loves it.
It is. I mean, it is. Saloon Tycoon's a pretty great game. I gotta say, I'm really happy with Saloon Tycoon. I love Epic Monster Tea Party, but in terms of pure fun of anything
finish
that I've made,
best.
Finish it is so much fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Watch out!
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.